Yeah, well, I wanted to see if you actually read my emails that I send to the list.
Now, anything from you, I just ignore.
I figured that. Actually, no, what I had to do, I took care of before the chat started, so.
All right, good deal.
Right on, right on. So I was telling Chris Charles yesterday that I was demoing the, because I use the Braille Note PK with a GPS 4.02. I was demoing to the sighted people about the GPS, and they were so amazed. And one of the things we were wondering is about the minutes when you read the latitude and longitude. And I guess pretty much Chris pretty much answered my question.
Okay. Yeah, we're thinking about adding some new options to that and having like that you can display it when you ask for the long lat long that you could get it in decimal degrees or degrees decimal minutes, or what we currently have is degrees minutes and seconds, actually decimal seconds. So we'll probably add a few more options moving forward.
That sounds excellent. Like I said, I was pretty stuck yesterday, and the fact that you did a great job with integrating the Keysoft help system, I was able to find how to do the latitude and longitude thing, and I just cannot believe that one keystroke gives me both. And for some reason, I always thought that different keystrokes gave me different deal.
One gives it to you, Y gives it to you, and you can also use a space with Y or a read with Y to enter a latitude and longitude as like a virtual position, a destination, or a POI if you know the lat long.
Well, what I was trying to do, Chris, is I was trying to read the latitude and the longitude, and for some reason I thought those two had different key commands, but the only key commands I was able to find was for the altitude, and then the Y gave me the latitude and longitude together, and I thought they were both separate.
Yeah, no, it's just one, and actually that makes it a little difficult to if you're not copying it to the clipboard or something to read to someone if you don't have Braille. We're going to probably change that in the future too, so that it'll actually go into some type of a list or something that you can actually get the degrees, minutes, and seconds, and you can actually step through them so that you can easily repeat them to someone else that may be copying them down.
Yeah, like I said, I was doing this for demo purposes. And Charles, I'm glad you're on board. One thing I was confused when I was using, because I'm currently using the Holox 236 with Keysoft version 7.2, build 47. Yesterday, I was, like I said, I was on a school trip with Chico State. We went to Sonoma, and I was standing in one position. It was telling me I was in Glen Ellen. I turn around. It tells me I turn around the other direction, it tells me I'm in the Sonoma area. It's like, what is going on here?
Well, if the GPS didn't just flick out and back in like a few hundred feet or something like that, that is possible. But on some streets, going in one direction, the certain streets are actually borders between two different counties or two different cities, and depending on the direction that you're traveling, you're either going to be in one city or the other. So that is possible too.
Yeah, even though we were just standing in one position, I go and turn around. I was facing south for one instance, and then I turn around, face north, wait for a couple seconds, telling me I was in a different area.
GPS must have flicked because if I understand you correctly, you just spun around. You didn't move. So when you just spun around, the GPS, once you stop, actually, technically, once you stop, the system has no idea of your current heading. So when you turn yourself around and say you're going south and you decide you want to turn yourself around and you're going north, the system still thinks you're going south because that was your last heading.
That's very interesting. And as I said, I was demoing this to a sighted group of people of cohorts who I went on this trip with, and it's like, wow. I was like, something's wrong here, I'm thinking to myself.
Yeah, we don't have an electronic compass, so we can't do that. You have to be moving before you it gets a new heading of travel. So it's probably just that you're right near the border of these two different cities or whatever, and it jumped from one side to the other, and that's what happened.
That's very interesting. I'll remember that because I'm going to go on another trip in a couple of weeks, and I'll have to see if it acts up kind of weird again.
Yeah, the other place where it could act up weird is if you're by beside tall buildings. You could get some multipath in there, which may put you on a different street because of the multipath, basically signals bouncing around between tall buildings before it gets to the receiver. It adds extra distance, so then the system thinks you're on a different street because of that. Now, the 237 or 236, there is an older receiver now, and we're selling the new Hollux M1000, which is a lot more sensitive, picks up signals faster, and has what, triple the battery life, Chris?
Yeah, it runs about 17 to 20 hours, somewhere around there, of battery life, where the 236 was 8 hours.
That'd be interesting. I wish I could have a way, a means of trying that type of receiver.
You don't know anyone that has a Braille note that you can borrow their receiver for a day?
Negative, Charles. I feel like I'm the only one that's got that type of system with the GPS and whatnot around that goes to school, because the rest of them use Freedom Scientific products, and I'm the only one that's actually, that I know of, at Chico State that uses the Braille note system.
Well, you gotta convert some people over, buddy. Get them to put in their I think there might be some discount that if you bring in your FSI product, you could get a Braille note. There's some deal like that, and you can just show them how good the GPS system is, and you'll have people clamoring to get new systems.
It's sad that I don't even know anything about the Braille note, and yet the first thing I'm learning on is how to use the GPS. I don't even know how to use the Braille note at all.
Actually, that's probably the best way to start is to learn the Braille note, functions of the Braille note, menu system, how to open documents, how to save documents, things like that, and then go into the GPS.
As I said, it's sad. That's the first thing I learned with the Braille note, and I was pretty much thrown into this whole system on my own. Hello, Eileen.
Howdy.
What's going on with you, Eileen?
I don't know if you want to know. I've just been trying to scan a science book for one of my students, and it's driving me wild because it's full of pictures and stuff in colored letters. So scanning is a nightmare. But otherwise, everything is about the same.
This is a little bit off topic, but have you guys noticed any other companies that when you try to do an online purchase now, it's asking you for anti-fraud information and part of your social and birth date and stuff like that when you put in credit card information?
No,
I have.
Yeah, I just ran across it today. I was trying to pay with a company credit card and it's asking for a social. I'm like, crap. That's no good.
I don't do that much online purchasing, and if that's involved, it is definitely no good.
Yeah, they're trying to do anti-fraud though, which does make sense, but still, then you're thinking, oh, now there's even more information that's floating around out there.
Especially a company's purchase code.
Oh well. We'll figure it out. So, how was your week, Arlene?
Good. I did order the M1000, and but I had been looking. We had talked a couple weeks ago about WAS, and I have yet with my 236. I don't see WAS at all.
I hardly ever saw WAS with my 236 either. Once in a blue moon, I'd see WAS, but I see it all the time with the M1000.
So should that improve my the accuracy?
It very well could. When I was started using this receiver, I used to get on average, and I'm talking averages here. An accuracy of about 32 feet with the 36, and it of course it varies. With the M1000, I'm normally getting the accuracy of 17 to 20 feet. That's with the G or the Q command, and most of the time that has WAS.
Interesting, yeah, because I would guess my accuracy at about 30 feet. Although my bigger problem, and I don't think it has anything to do with the receiver, is just the connectivity issue. Very seldom can I, especially a pedestrian route, can I complete a pedestrian route without having to reestablish connectivity? And that I'm finding probably, as if anything, is frustrating. That's it.
Yeah, wait till you get your receiver, check it out, and but I think that the connectivity issue is more of a Braille Note issue, because technically Bluetooth is not supported on Windows CE 4.2, so they wrote that Bluetooth interface.
Exactly.
Now, one thing I will say about the receivers and testing the different types of receivers, a lot of work goes into the different receivers. When we find a receiver, we test it. All of us have one, and all of us are walking at slow speeds in different areas, and we basically send Charles, which, you know, which is really cool. We send him our replay files, and he can perform magic somehow and literally watch the route that we took. And what I would do is I would have two receivers and two Braille Notes going at the exact same time on the exact same trip, and then turn them off, turn them back on, and then go back the way I came, retracing my steps. And he was able to compare two receivers side by side.
That is wild.
Yeah, and you'd be very surprised at the results. One would think that they would be, you know, very close together and stuff, and it's not. And even two identical receivers, two M1000s or two 236s doing this exact same thing, they're different. You know, you're not getting the exact same traces. Excuse me. But you can look at the number of times, let's say if you're comparing different brands or different receivers, you can see how many times one veers off or goes into in the incorrect direction, or starts to float away from the true, your true path. And the number of times that happens, quantify that, and then make a result, make some determinations based on that, how good the receiver is. Also, we did other tests where the person walking didn't go above 2 miles an hour, and we were able to check to see how many times the system went over 2 miles an hour. And so that was an error as well. So we did that type of quantitative analysis. We also did a third type where we just had the unit stationary, two different receivers stationary, and was able to find out how far away from your position did they float around. They will float, obviously, but some are worse than others. Some are nice and compact, really close to your origin. Others will float around. Also, we'll be able to tell if any of them start jumping around with speeds more than 0 miles an hour, because you're not moving. And so we did this type of analysis. So a lot of testing goes into when we decide to actually pick a GPS receiver. And, you know, Mike usually has a receiver beforehand for months and trying it in different countries and different trips that he's on. So, when we stand behind a product like, you know, now the M1000, there's a lot of research and testing that goes into a decision like this. So we don't make these lightly.
That's gnarly. And on a side note, Charles, I have to commend you since you were a star.
Why do you say that?
I have to commend you because I just recently got the book of Crashing Through, and your name was mentioned in the book.
Yeah, my one line to fame right there.
Oh, that's arrive near destination.
Okay, I guess I have two lines to fame now. That and continue straight, okay.
I still want to know the real story about that paddy wagon.
I'll never tell. I can't tell. I can't remember what happened that night.
Wow, that's amazing. But yeah, I was really impressed with you being in that book as well. I'm surprised it didn't say recalculating vehicle route.
Yes, Sendero is an impressive team. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Thanks, guys. We definitely try. We have a great bunch of a great team, actually one of the best teams I think I've ever worked with. So it's really nice to everyone have the same drive and enthusiasm that that I do on this and it shows in the product and in our support and in our development and how we treat our customers all the way down the line, you know. You will occasionally get customers which you just can't can't please. You bend over backwards and they want blood or something. So but normally we try our best and usually people realize that and are happy with our performance and our level of support and understanding.
Since because of the operating system of the BrailleNote family right now, since connectivity is an issue, is there any possibility on the wish list to make some type of a one key command for reestablishing connectivity?
Have you read the manual? We have that, Elaine. It is backspace R for reconnect. Or what is it? Control R on the QT to reconnect, Chris? But it's there.
Actually, she was talking a one-handed command, and there is one. It's hidden. It's backspace with B on the BT keyboard.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Because when I'm walking, sometimes I just would really like to keep going, and but like I said, connectivity reestablishment is an issue. So okay, that's great. And yes, Charles, I certainly have read the manual. Not that it all sinks in, but oh yeah, I'm a real reader of manuals.
Do we have the duplicate keys though, Chris? I thought we did someplace.
I don't know if that ever made it in.
Okay, sorry, Elaine, our bad.
That's all right. And I could almost guarantee it didn't make it in, but it's just another thing. Every time I go on this into this chat room, I learn something. So that's a great one for tonight. Thank you.
That never made it in, by the way. Yesterday I found the same issue and that never made it in, and I had to do the long way.
Yeah, it's in the product, but it's not in the documentation. It's one of those hidden commands.
Yeah, there you go. You need to have some hidden commands, just like there's the hidden Easter egg that, not too many people have found over the years. So, hey, you gotta have something hidden there for people to stumble upon, right?
That's correct.
Oh, Peggy.
Hello there, Peggy. How are you doing this week? You have any questions for us, or are you just trying to find out all the lowdown of receivers?
I just thought I'd pop in and say hi. I usually forget about these things, and I just thought I'd pop in and see who is here and what's the discussions going on.
Well, glad you dropped in. We had one quick discussion on the hidden duplicate key for reconnecting to a GPS receiver, which was backspace with B on a BT keyboard. And we also discussed the M1000 and how good it is, and the amount of testing that goes in, Sendero goes into, to testing those new receivers coming out of the market. And obviously this session will be archived, and people will be able to peruse it later at your own convenience. That's about it for a high-level recap of what happened.
Well, I'm just going to have to, one of these days, graduate from my trusty Earthmate to a Bluetooth receiver. I still have not headed in that direction. I figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But then every now and then I keep thinking, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have a nice small receiver and not have to battle serial cables and all that other stuff. So maybe Santa Claus will bring me a Bluetooth receiver for Christmas.
Oh my goodness, you're still using that? Wow. Yeah, technology has really changed, and you're probably waiting, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes for the initial GPS fix? Is that about right?
Yeah, that's pretty much about right. Sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, just depending on you know, how long it's been since I've used it. Yeah.
Right, where now I actually inside my house can turn on my M1000 and usually within 10 seconds inside my house get a GPS fix.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah, that's just might convince me to start looking in that direction. Do you have to put your receiver by a window or anything, or does it just pick it up from anywhere inside your house?
Well, actually, I have mine near a window. If I don't have it near a window, it usually takes a little bit longer, but I'm only a one-story house. If you were in a multi-story, you may not get it unless you're near a window. But we do recommend not doing what I'm doing. We do recommend going outside first before turning it on, just because, but yeah.
Right, and that all depends too on, what your house is made of, if you're not by a window. But normally I'm by a window when I turn mine on in the house too. But I've seen pretty good satellite acquisitions in my house, 9, 10 satellites by the living room window, kind of sitting on the couch by the living room window, which is pretty good.
That's interesting. I think I will try to find somebody who's got an M1000 and try to pair it with a PK and see if I like it or not.
I think Peggy will notice a night and day difference. You might not notice between a 236 and an M1000, but I think when Peggy's going from her Earthmate to an M1000, she's going to notice a night and day difference.
Oh yeah, huge. Oh my God. That's like going from a Pinto to a Ferrari, basically. If you don't like the car analogy, let's see. That's like going from Windows 95 or Windows 3 to Windows XP. How about that?
From a Braille writer to a Braille note, I guess, huh? To make it a little bit relevant.
There you go. Any one of these analogies would work.
Yep, I agree.
Of course, then I'd have to figure out what to do with my Earthmate. I mean, I could probably try to sell it, but who's going to want an Earthmate when there are all these new Bluetooth receivers available?
Somebody that has a classic that has no intention of going to an M-Power, where a serial receiver is really their only option.
Yeah, you can always ask Sendero if Mike if he wants your old receiver. He does give them to people like students or people that can't afford it. I don't know how many serial Earthmates he currently has. He may already have enough that he doesn't need more, but that's always an option.
And what do you do with the Bluetooth receiver? Do you just hook it onto the strap just like I do with my Earthmate, or do you have to, I mean, how does it work? Because I get the impression since it's wireless that you don't have to have it actually on the strap. You could put it somewhere else, but how would you keep from losing it? How would you keep track with it? And what do you do with it when you're done using it? Do you just leave it on the strap or put it away somewhere or what?
I can answer that. The receiver comes in a custom case with a belt clip on the back, and you slip the belt clip through the strap, kind of the same way you do currently right now. And this is personal preference here, but as far as when I'm done with my receiver, it stays on the strap. I don't bother taking it off the strap. I can charge it through the custom case, and I just leave it right on the strap.
Yeah, it's best to leave it on the strap because that means that it's up, usually up near your shoulder or thereabouts, or on your upper chest area, and therefore it's getting a better line of sight to your satellites. That doesn't mean that you can't put it someplace else. Some people have a custom hat with a pocket in it, and they pop their receiver in there, and that works. Even probably even better because that's even getting a better the satellites. Some women put it in their purse, but then again, it's bopping around, moving around. Sometimes it's upside down. It may not get the best satellite reception there. You may, the M1000 is pretty sensitive now though, and that might be an option. But I personally wouldn't recommend it there. But if you have a little zipper pouch or something like that that's sort of facing upwards. Why not? Give it a try. See if you like it there. If it works there, hey, more power to you.
Yeah, I used to use my Garmin GPS 10 in a backpack, and there was a little zipper pocket on the top of the backpack where I would just turn it on and slip the receiver right into that little zipper pocket, and it worked fine.
I would imagine another benefit with a Bluetooth receiver is if you're riding in the back seat of a car that has tinted windows in the back seat, you could always just take the receiver off and pass it up to somebody in the front seat.
Tinted windows, as far as getting an acquisition in a car with these newer receivers, isn't that big of a deal anymore as it used to be.
Oh, there's another plus because I know with the Earthmate it can sometimes cause real problems. I just might have to order myself one of these new receivers. I'm getting talked into it.
Yeah, well, that would be a good thing. And then it comes with a custom case and everything else. You can buy it online from cheaper places, but then again, you won't get the custom case or the ones that we are selling actually has an AC adapter to charge it, not just a the USB charger to a laptop or or the powered USB on the Braille note. But anyway, it's up to you where you want to buy it. We do offer it. It's on our price list, and I think you can even buy it online, or you can call up Sheila and she'll hook you up.
I just may end up doing that sooner than I had originally planned. Who knows? How long do the batteries seem to hold a charge, between when you need to charge it? I think with the Earthmate, it's something like 6 or 7 hours. I'm wondering what it is with the 1000.
18.
18? That's amazing. Does it give any signals or anything when it's about to die, or do you just periodically charge it if it's been a while?
I just periodically charge it. 18 hours is quite a bit of time. I mean, you could run it all day and come home, the receiver itself, you could run it all day and then come home and charge it.
And if you only really use it a few hours a day, you could probably wait a week before recharging it. And that's what I usually do. I hardly ever recharge my M1000, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I guess I haven't charged that in a few weeks. I probably better charge that up.
Yeah, nothing's more depressing than to be sitting there watching, following a route or something. All of a sudden you see GPS receiver not detected. Very depressing.
Yep, and that would be one. Well, the other thing is, what would be good to have is a second set of batteries, and they're pretty much standard batteries, I think. So that is another option, that the batteries are replaceable, swappable, so you could take out a battery.
Also, in a pinch, it's a wireless receiver, but you can use, if you have an M power, this doesn't work on a PK, but if you have an M power, you can connect to the receiver via the US one of the two USB ports in the back and get it give the receiver power. Now, that's going to drain the battery faster on your Braille note, but in a pinch, that will work.
I know the one thing I like about the Earthmate is it has the adapter that you can plug into the car lighter thing and use it, plugged in when you're riding in a car. Does the M1000 have that?
Oh yeah, it has that too, and it also, as I said, has the AC charger as well. So you get the AC charger, you get the car charger, you get a custom case from Sendero, a leather case with cutouts for the on-off switch and the USB port, which that's the port to actually recharge it in the various different ways. So yeah, it has it all.
Sometimes Bluetooth can be a little flaky on the Empower, at least with a cell phone. I guess pretty much once they're paired, that's the main thing. And then, do you ever have to repair them, or do they? Does the pairing pretty much stay? I mean, I would hate to be in the middle of something and have it lose connection and have to stop and repair and do all that stuff.
Most of the time, if you lose the connection, you just hit the hotkey that we were discussing earlier to force the system to look for the receiver again. Now, having said that, if that fails, then you have to make sure that the system or the receiver is activated. So if it's paired, you want to make sure that it's also activated. If you do a reset, you have to go back in and activate the receiver, which is not a big deal. Once you do it a few times, it'll become second nature to you to do that.
Probably just like doing it with a cell phone where you search for Bluetooth devices and then find the receiver and then hit enter on it, I would guess.
As far as searching for Bluetooth devices, that's going to depend on two things. The first thing is if you have done a 456 reset or a JKL reset, which clears your Bluetooth settings, then you'll want to search for Bluetooth devices. That's one option. The other option or reset is if you do a service reset, you'll lose the Bluetooth connection, your Bluetooth connectivity settings, and if you your battery dies, goes flat on the M Power or PK, you will lose your Bluetooth settings. Now, one thing I tell people is when it says search for devices, answer no, because if you need to search for devices, the machine will say could not find any Bluetooth devices when you answer no. So if you get that prompt, you answer yes, and then you'll search for the devices. Now, if you just do a plain reset and you search for the devices and search for the devices and search for the devices, eventually you're going to confuse the Braille note. So what you want to do is at the search for devices prompt, answer no. And then you'll see a list of Bluetooth devices, your space bar down to your Hollux receiver or whatever your phone. Hit enter on it. It'll say remove pairing with receiver name or activate active sync. And you hit A to activate active sync. Go back to the main menu and you're in business.
Yeah, even though I complain sometimes because of losing connectivity. I mean, there is going to Bluetooth was just wild. I mean, it was just like, yeah, I don't know what kind of an analogy to use, but there's no other way to go with a receiver but Bluetooth. And it's true, the get so used to the connectivity thing, you just do it automatically, and it's not really a big deal. So, oh yeah, I mean, I just that was the best thing I ever did is going Bluetooth. While I'm talking, does when I get the M1000, is the authentication code same as with the 236?
Yes, it is. It's 0000.
Chris, I was going to tell her it's her birth date backwards.
Then when she calls, I'll forward the tech support call to you.
Yeah, I have another question now. when I was having a connectivity issue last week, which seemed a little more stubborn than usual, I was concerned as to whether I might have not charged my receiver recently enough, and that I had lost the receiver actually. So I asked a sighted person to tell me about the lights. Now, Sir Charles, could you explain what lights work and if it blinks, is that good or bad, or what if I need sighted help, what should I be looking for?
For which receiver now are we talking about?
Currently, the 236.
Okay, 236. I have it in my hands right now. Oh, actually, no. I have. Oh, that is the 236. Yeah. Okay. 36. I turn it on. I get a solid blue light in the middle, and then the left light is like an amber light, yellow, red, orange, and then the Bluetooth will flash on and off. And then once I actually connect to Braille note, it changes its flash pattern a little bit from once a second to, I forget, once every 5 seconds.
You chopped out on me there.
Yeah, you cut it out way too soon, Charles.
That's weird. Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Okay, so I turned on my Bluetooth 236 here, and when I first turn it on, I get a solid blue light. Then a orange light on the left-hand side, the power light, will turn on and stay solid. And then the Bluetooth will start flashing. Once you actually pair with the blue with your M-Power or PK, it'll get a different flash pattern on the Bluetooth on the blue light flashing. It won't be once every second. It drops out to like once every 2 or 3 seconds or something like that. So the lights do mean something, yes.
That's extremely helpful. Now I know what they mean. Thank you.
And then once you actually get a satellite fix, that solid amber, the solid orange light, instead of it being solid, it starts flashing when you actually have a satellite connection. You're trying to say something, Chris? We didn't hear you. And then there's also one other light on this, which is the battery low light, and that's on the far right-hand side. And that should normally be off unless there's a problem. And I think it goes red once your battery's about to be history.
If I'm not sure, and as long as I don't get fanatic about it, is there any possibility of overcharging the battery?
No. And also, if you look in on your compact flash card, the receivers folder, there's a Holix getting started document, and that also describes what the lights do and where what colors they are for whatever specific, like Charles described about the Bluetooth flashing, or the solid light then flashing. That's also in the getting started document.
Uh-oh, that's one thing I didn't read. You caught me.
I didn't even know we had that. That's great. Do we have that same document for the M1000 then, Chris?
Absolutely.
That's a question though, Chris. If people are getting these new M1000s, let's say they're ordering new receivers from us, they're obviously not getting a disc. Do we have it online someplace?
I don't know yet. If we do, it would be in that 40diosdocs.zip file.
We'll have to check on that. It's a good point. We need to look at that. Also wanted to give you guys a heads up. Sendero is going to have a frequently asked questions webpage shortly popping up on our website.
That's excellent. There are times when I forget something and I always log on to the Zero website trying to find something, and if we could get any cues on there, that'd be excellent.
I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek on the FAQ. I'll make the right-hand pane accessible that you guys can take a look at it before it's live.
And how's that going to be, Charles? Are you going to tell us where to go or what?
No, I just did it. The right-hand page now should be the Sendero FAQ.
It's not showing up on my JAWS. Maybe Mike May, Mr. President, there could give us a hand how to do this, because I'm in the chat window and I can't see it with the JAWS.
Do you see it there, Chris? I said to send it. I can also try follow me.
I'm trying to find it. Hang on, I know there's a hotkey to get you there.
Interesting, because you guys should all see it. Should all be up there now on your screens. Over in the other side, you have the public chat tab, and then the where you type in messages, and then who's talking, and then over the next pane you have your sounds stuff, your and the last one is the web pages, and it should be on Sendero FAQ.
Press F5.
So anyway, the what we have there is 10 FAQs right now, and they are when I install the program, I get quote file in use message. Second question is when I install the program, I get not enough storage message. After I install GPS, I get you do not have an appropriate license to run this application. FAQ 4 is how do I connect my GPS Bluetooth receiver? Question 5, I get the message GPS receiver not detected. Number 6 is how do I use custom sounds such as arrive near destination? Number 7 is what are the different types of resets? Number 8 is I get the message unable to create route. Number 9, how do I subscribe to the GPS talk discussion list or how do I change how I receive my emails? And the last one is, how do I unsubscribe from the GPS talk discussions list? What do you guys think of those topics?
And actually, I'm sorry, but the hotkey was F6 to take you there, not F5.
They sound like excellent topics.
I have to agree. I actually read it, Chris. Thanks for the hotkey. And some people do have it on the list, and we could actually refer them to that for future reference.
Well, that's exactly why we did this, because Chris and myself and a number of us at Sendero and others are like repeating ourselves over and over again. And we usually don't have a canned response, and we end up, you know, retyping everything and wasting our time. And it'll be just really nice to be able to go and point them to an FAQ. And this will grow over time. So, you know, so I think this was really worthwhile. And I hope that the format is accessible and easy to move around in. And, you know, if you guys want to provide feedback on our list or offer other topics for the FAQ, we'd appreciate any feedback you would offer.
I'm wondering if maybe there shouldn't be something at the bottom of every message on the list that says, refers people to the FAQ for further information, maybe once it's more established or something.
You know what? That's possible. That's a great idea, because there are headers and footers that you can actually, being a list like this, add to everyone's email automatically. So that's a great idea. I will talk to Kim, our web and our users list moderator, and see if that's something that we would like to think about adding. But that's a good idea. If anything, at least how to unsubscribe, because that's the one that people just constantly bombard us with.
I think another FAQ, Charles, that just came to mind to me, is some people ask about the strap, not the strap, but the receiver, and what's the best way to hold your receiver when using GPS?
Yeah, best practices with Bluetooth receivers, or yeah, to get the best out of your receiver. That's a great idea. There's one for you, Chris.
That's what people, especially those who are new, to ask a lot is, what's the best way to use your receiver when using GPS or somewhere along the lines like that?
I just thought of a question. I opened the, unzipped all the documents when I went up to version 4. Whatever I am now. And then I tried to open the manual, I think it was, on the Braille note, and Braille note didn't recognize the file type, so I just basically got rid of all the documents. I'm wondering why that could have been, or if there's something I need to do for the documents so that I can read the manuals and stuff on the Braille note. I really like to get documents and be able to use them and get a lot of these questions answered, but after not being able to open just the basic manual on the Braille note, I thought, you know, gee, what's the point? So I'm wondering if anyone else had that problem, and if there's a workaround or what.
Okay, I'll tackle this one. If you go to Help, Sendero Documentation, the user's guide is right there, and it's a keyword text file. So the manual is right inside the application. Now, having said that, in the documents that you download, the manual is in a number of formats. It's in a doc format, which, as you notice, does not read well on the Braille note. I don't think it reads at all, actually. That same manual is also a keyword text file, and, or, you know, so that you could read it on the Braille note. And also, it is, I believe, a text file as well.
Okay, that's cool. So maybe I'll just go get the documents again, unzip them, and then just copy the ones that are keyword TXT over to my card, and I'll at least have something, as well as the one in the help files.
Right, exactly.
Right, but for the manual itself, you shouldn't need to do anything other than just go into GPS, go into help, type S for Sendero documentation, and then go down to the manual and hit enter on that, and it should bring you right into the manual using the book reader.
There's another FAQ for you guys.
Yeah, the trick is to not have 1,000 FAQs, you know, try to keep it down. So just really want the top ones that people keep asking over and over again. But yeah, we will start thinking about what are the frequently asked questions and keep building on. So I have a question for you all. Now that you've had a chance to play with 4.02 for a while, what do you think? And what do you think it's missing? There you go.
I absolutely love it. I love the restructured help. It's a whole lot easier to use. The one thing that I still wish we had was an easier way to go through our personal user points of interest and delete stuff. You know, like if I, in my looking around a certain street, realize that I have a user point of interest that I don't need anymore, if there was a way to just instantly delete it without having to back out of GPS and get into, you know, find it in my, you know, big long list of points of interest, kill it off or something like that. It seems like it still takes a while if I want to clean out my user points of interest because I found something that I either don't use anymore or that is actually in the commercial points of interest. It would be nice to be able to do that more quickly.
Funny you should mention that one. Yeah, we're currently developing the next version, and something like that we're working on. Yeah, basically, I think I could probably tell you guys what this little feature is that you know that's gonna happen. We're gonna put you at the nearest point of interest when you into the edit points of interest from now on. So when you go into the points of interest, your user points of interest, you're going to be not put at the beginning of your list. You're going to be actually put to the nearest point of interest. So if you just found one that you no longer like, you go into edit points of interest, and you should right be on top of that one, and then you can delete it. So look for that in the next version. You know, that was a small little thing I added in just recently that we're currently testing out. So just a little piece of candy for you guys since you came to the chat today.
So is the new version going to be 5.0 or?
No, I don't think so. That would require a major type change, some major restructuring, which I don't think this next version will be. I think we're just going to be doing a few things, but Mike has some ideas on this. He didn't come through, Mike.
Listening in, I was doing something else and I hit my control key here, so I wasn't actually speaking, but a chance to say hello anyway.
For some reason, your volume is like non-existent, Mike. I can barely hear that you are actually talking, actually.
Well, actually, is this any better?
That was slightly better, yeah. I can start to hear you now, but it's still nowhere near is normally.
Okay, how about that?
There we go. Now we're getting close.
Okay, I was just saying hello, and I'm doing some other stuff here, listening in the background, so carry on.
Okay, I thought you were weighing in on the next version of GPS. Their comment was made that it was going to be 5.0, and I said, well, probably not going to be 5.0.
So is this going to be like another patch, or what's the deal, or?
No. This is not a patch. We're finished with patches. You know, there's nothing. The product is solid. You know, we came out with three or four patches there to fix some functionality that should have been fixed when we released it. You know, but we don't have a million testers, beta testers, to find all of the issues before we release. So we found them, we fixed them, and you got those fixes for free. This next one will be the next upgrade. You know, so it will be a paid upgrade. And it will have some pretty cool new features and functionality in it. So, not sure exactly when that's going to be released yet. It's currently in alpha.
Good call. I'm glad I'm actually, I came into the chat room now. I could actually start lobbying with my rehab counselor, who's also blind, to hopefully authorize me to get me an upgrade on this new GPS. Right now we're working on getting me the upgrade for KeyStop, so hopefully those two will come hand in hand.
That's actually a good idea. You may want to consider going and getting an SMA for GPS, and I think we sell them in quantities of two, right, Chris? That you'd get two SMAs, two upgrades. So that you may want to consider doing an SMA for GPS, because that's probably the best way to go.
I think you're right. It's two.
Well, my husband just showed up with Chinese food, so I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys later. It's been wonderful, and I just might pop over to Sendero and take a look at that new receiver. Who knows? I might buy it.
All right, Peggy. Well, thanks for dropping in. It's been a great time.
It's nice to hear a voice that, you know, we see a person's name on the list, and to hear the voice that goes with it is great.
Yep, absolutely. Well, actually, it is 5 o'clock. I think that's probably a good time for me to cut out here. I have a couple girls I'm watching, which have been actually really good and quiet, which has me scared, because that usually means they're into trouble. Either that or they found a great TV show. So I'm not sure which it is, so I better get out there and feed them. But it's been a lot of fun, guys, and I hope you learned something.
Sure did. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Charles, and I'll consider the SMA upgrade.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. Have a good one, Mike.